السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Welcome to Radio Islam International. It is the program known as Screaming Reels. And we welcome all our listeners once again to another edition and another wonderful program, inshallah, this morning. This morning we'll be joined on the line by Adil Mangli as well as our other guests that we'll be having for today's program, inshallah. And today being the 18th of March already, a third already of 2017, or just gone by like that, or quarter rather. And before we know it, it will be the month of Ramadan, and within no time thereafter we'll have the Eid al-Adha, and before we know it will be the end of another year. So in the time that we have, although that barakah and that blessing has been taken away from our time compared to before, we should appreciate every second of the day. We should make the best of those moments we have with us, and of course worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibadatu Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most important thing within our lives. We have Brother Adil with us on the line. Adil, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mulana Sajati, Mulana to all our wonderful, wonderful listeners on this beautiful Saturday morning, the beginning of a very long weekend for some people.
Arif, you can say that again. I think it's the first time when you said a very long, and you said the weekend, but I think everybody had that extra smile on the face.
I wonder, but I see a lot of people are working on a Monday, but then the Tuesday they're off. Now, schools are closed because the department has given that as a school holiday.
Right.
So, and I think it's...
And then I see a lot of people then that actually change it around. They kind of made that Monday a public holiday for the staff, and they gave the Tuesday the holiday. Yeah.
So a lot of people are sitting with a four day weekend, and I know just from some of the guys that I've been speaking to, you know, bumping into them, everybody's just got one thing on their mind. That is fishing, and more fishing.
Yeah, I think it's a nice long weekend to actually make out for yourself, Ari.
100%.
It's 4 days nicely. I mean, if you plan already, I mean, from Thursday evening, it's almost 5 days that you have leave for, or you don't have to get back to work, or the kids don't have to get back to school. And I've noticed a lot of the school's examination also has been completed already, Ari.
Yeah, most of the assessments have been done. You must remember it's quite a difficult thing for teachers, because next week there's only 3 days, and then there's 1 week left after that to do the reports and, you know, to get everything ready for the first term, or the end of the first term rather. So, yeah, it's going to be a bit tight for teachers, but I think teachers appreciate the break more than anybody else.
Oh yes.
I know people say, but you guys are getting ready for a holiday that's coming up and things like that. And I always tell parents, you know, you only have to look after three children or two children or one child in some cases. And most of the time, teachers looking after between 35 to 45 children, and it is quite taxing. Only teachers can actually understand what teachers basically go through when it comes to the classroom and what we need to do, in today's times. And to keep children motivated as well, because kids today are so involved with technology and they're so advanced. And, I've actually given up teaching in a very traditional way, because I just come to class and I wait to hear what new things I'm going to learn. And it's amazing, because if you go with that sort of attitude to the classroom, you learn so much more from the kids. They'll be telling you things about latest developments. One child was telling me, and I don't know how true it is, but they're saying they discovered a new part in the human body, because we were discussing about animals and how they're still finding new animals, So kids, and then the other day they were talking about how here in the location they found a mermaid, and you know, they can tell you all, half of it is lies also sometimes. But it's interesting to see how the children react and how they come, you know, to class, and they're so motivated and they've got such a lot of energy. And to be a teacher, you've got to have double that amount of energy.
Mm.
I think that's why every afternoon when you come here by the house, you'll find me sleeping for 20 minutes.
Yeah, no. It's something very, very different. But at the end of the day, I think the reward lies there as well, the most for teachers and for having patience and of course, imparting knowledge, which is very, very important to the children out there. So now, Adil, we've been talking about teachers. I see it must have been on a hell of a rough week for you out there. What you got planned for yourself for this weekend, Adil?
Well, funny enough, I had planned to take my son and his friends out on a fishing trip.
Right.
Fishing survival kind of a trip. But, you know, I was speaking to Manana Chibu because we were supposed to go that side to Poch, and he was saying that because the water levels had been so high, there was such a lot of damage to the farm, etc. And then they were planning on, you know, doing repairs. So they were not taking, I mean, we couldn't basically go there. And then because it's a long weekend, you know, just one child decided that, no, he's going with his parents for a holiday, and then the other youngster hurt his ankle. And so eventually we said, you know what, let's cancel the trip for another day. Let's postpone it and see what happens. So that didn't happen. But interesting thing I wanted to tell you is, Mulana was telling me they were busy cleaning out the farm, the guys that were busy cleaning out the farm. And after the water started retreating, because the water came up very, very quickly, even, you know, the one chalet right at the front was submerged also underwater. So
I've actually seen some pictures of that, Adil. I've seen pictures, guys, and some pictures and things like that as well.
Yeah, and then I was saying, so the guy was cleaning the you know, once the water retreated, they got into the chalet and started sort of taking out all the excess water in it. Mm. And the person that works there for Mulana, he caught a big bower inside the chalet.
Are you serious?
Yeah, so sometimes you don't need a fishing rod in it. You just need the water level to go up and a nice chalet to trap the fish. and the bower basically got in there.
You mean a feeding spot is going to be a whole chalet, Adil?
Yeah, so it was quite interesting to hear that. You know, I mean, this guy must have been very, very happy. I think I would have been frightened initially because, you know, water rising and then retreating like that, it leaves all sorts of creepy crawlies and nasties lying around. So, you know, and even with snakes as well, after the rains, a lot of people are reporting, you know, snakes even in residential areas. Because of the amount of grass and I suppose snakes moving away from the bushy areas where the waters were sort of rising. So, yeah, and to see a barber in a chalet must have been quite an exciting thing for a guy.
Definitely. I think that is true, Adil. So you say that unfortunately the plane got a bit scrapped up for this weekend, yeah, but you could still just hit a down the road trip somewhere, Adil?
Yeah, I was actually speaking to some guys. Apparently, the karpa are still on the bite everywhere. I mean, those waters where there's karpa.
Yeah, I was actually surprised with that. Yesterday, somebody said the same thing to me, that, I mean, the karpas are still on. And for me, I was, like, really shocked. I mean, this time of the year now already. But I think, you know, everything did happen so late this year. So I think perhaps that's why.
Yeah, and I think obviously there's a lot of different factors involved, but one of the things that you need, particularly for karpa, is you need the high temperatures. So obviously going out to those areas like near Brits and, you know, Rattenberg and those sort of places where the temperatures are right, and you go to dams where you know they usually hold karpa,
mm-hmm.
that wouldn't be a bad idea. Mm. So I'm thinking obviously you got Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. So maybe on Tuesday morning.
You know, you teachers can exaggerate also. But
it sounds so.
You know why? Because first I must tell you, we're getting a few thumbs up from the teachers here, right? on WhatsApp messages, yeah. But the way you say Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, I actually feel like this holiday is going to be for the next 3 weeks or something.
No, don't worry. There is still another two-week holiday after that. See, you know what? It's good in the sense that we do need the holiday, like I told you. I mean,
yeah, no, no.
I don't even have to say. I mean, you yourself, you're a teacher.
Of course.
But how nice to have a holiday because, you know, you've got so much of time, you can, you know, catch up. But obviously this holiday will be very spiritual. With the Ijtima coming up, you know, people, you know, sort of focusing more on starting to get into Ramadan mode. So, whatever fishing needs to be done, I suppose these are the days now where you need to go and, you know, get your rod in the water and try for the fish.
Adil, okay, we got Brother Muhammad Patel with us on the line. Let's see what plans he's got for this very, very long time. The way you mentioned, you know, it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, sorry. Muhammad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam. How are you, Adil, and all the Radio Islam listeners today?
Alhamdulillah. Muhammad, it's been a while, but we thought that, you know, this weekend being a bit of a long weekend there, and we will actually let Adil just mention how many days it is for us just now. But,
I was hearing that it sounded almost like a nursery rhyme.
So tell us, Muhammad, before we actually talk anything else, what plans do you have for this long weekend?
Absolutely nothing. This weekend is going to be maybe, I don't know, maybe I must just hike and look for a lift in somebody's boat. Somebody promised me a trip, but I don't know, maybe I forgot to... They need to set a reminder, take Muhammad fishing also.
So somebody didn't go, now what we can do?
100%. I think we should be in and around, you know, the area, just at home, relaxing. But I'll probably be working on the holiday. Just trying to get, you know, deadlines, targets done.
Mm.
But other than that, yeah, I think it will be more relaxing than a normal working day, you know. But no plans as such. I think maybe, you know, after something to boss up would sound good, you know.
Yeah, it actually would be a good idea.
Definitely.
Somebody was telling me in the week that they were at Boskop, I think on the weekend, and they were fishing the grass. Areas, and they said they caught quite a lot of very, you know, these small bears. They were keeping them sort of busy the whole time. So I think there is still quite a bit of action happening at Boskop.
No, definitely, because I've also had some reports of spawners, you know, spawning fish this time of the year. I think this rain also brought some, you know, how can I put it, goodness to the waters and the fish, you know. A lot of them probably have a different thinking, they have a different way of thinking. We've seen fish spawn sometimes January, February, and, you know, sitting on the nest, sitting on the beds like January, February, you know, and you're frowning, like, what the hell is going on here, you know? But I think with the oxygen in the water and the rising water levels, there's also a lot of bait fish in the water. Guys are not even having to look for them on the fish finder. You see them in, you know, balls and balls around the weed beds, weed edges and stuff, you know. Obviously, they'll probably also be around those areas to take cover from the predatory fish, you know.
Yes.
But, apparently the waters are looking quite healthy. Some of our over-the-border waters apparently are looking good, from what I heard in Materi, Lodge in Zimbabwe as well. The waters, water levels have risen quite a bit. And for me, that's like, you know, bells ringing in my ears. You know, good news because, you know, all the years that we've been to Materi, we fished the flooded grass and you found that the lilies started growing again. I don't know if any of you ever experienced that now in the last 2-3 years because I haven't
seen
almost no dams with lily pads and stuff like that, you know. And, you know, having that explosive action from previous years where you'll take like a topwater frog or something and then you'll basically drag it over the lily and, you know, drop it as it falls off the lily, you get smashed up. You know, that sort of action, we really miss that top with the action. And it hasn't happened for me personally in the last couple of years. The vegetation's not good and never grew well. The water conditions were not too healthy like what they are now. So Shukr Alhamdulillah, I mean, you know, with all this rain, you know, people are always complaining it's raining too much, this, that, the other, washing is not getting done, whatever. But with the blessings we had now in the last couple of months, it's just been, it's crazy. It's going to bring, you know, ease for everything, especially for farmers. But for us as fishermen, yeah, it's even more beneficial than for anybody else.
Well, in terms of, let's just discuss very quickly boats and some safety maybe for this long weekend. You're going to have perhaps a lot of people that would probably be gone out now for this time. What sort of precautions can they take, of course, before leaving for your trailers and your boat, your safety itself on the water thereafter?
A bit of a tip that I think needs to be stressed on a little bit is, I've been having a lot of calls now recently, guys getting to the dam and their motors can't start and stuff like that. You know, people overlook, you know, maintenance on a boat, like, seriously. And sometimes, you know, one wouldn't have to maintain it as much if they had to follow certain steps and procedures, you know. We find that plastic, petrol in carburetors and sitting basically in outboard motors, they plasticize like after a while, and then, you know, they clog up the entire fuel line, the carburetors and your injectors and stuff like that. So one piece of advice would be, you know, buy those muffs. Muffs are basically fitted on the lower part of the engine on the gearbox, where you can connect it to your normal hose pipe. Connect it to a hose pipe and then to obviously to the water source. Open it up and then, you know, try and start the motor, let it idle, let it burn out all that old petrol and two-stroke oil. You know, so when you get to the water, you don't have to hassle trying to start the motor for like half an hour or having to go out to a mechanic, you know, to get it sorted out there. It just makes the whole trip, you know, very unpleasant. So that would be the one tip. Always start your motor at least once a month in the yard. Again, for the listeners out there that don't actually have any knowledge, you know, you can even Google how to start your outboard motor, you know, in your yard, just using a hose pipe and those muffs. And it'll save you a lot of money, number one. Number two is time and hassle. And we found in recent months there were so many boats, the guys got to the water and they haven't started up their motors for like 6 months and expected it just to crank one shot. It's not going to happen, you know. That petrol sitting in the carburetors and injectors just become all muck and gunk. And it's going to clog up your entire fueling system. And that also can be a very, very costly affair, especially if you're having, you know, the newer technology outboard motors where, you know, these fuel pumps cost like 10,000 rand a piece. You need like two fuel pumps. It costs you like 20,000 rand to have the thing sorted out. So number one is try and start your motor before you go, even though sometimes you haven't started it for a couple of months. That would be the one safety tip. Start the motor in the yard. Let it idle for a couple of minutes. You know, make sure all that old petrol and stuff gets burned out of your carburetors. Number one. Number two is, again, as I mentioned previously before, an easy way for the average Joe to check bearings on their trailers. Jack the boat or the trailer up from behind the wheels, right? If you want to be even more safe, hook it up onto your boat or car. Jack it up from behind the wheels. You can jack it up on the axle itself or on the body of the trailer. And just shake the wheel from side to side to see if it has like any play on the wheel. If it has like some play, it'll be a sign, you know, to check your bearings. Do that on either side. That's the second tip I would advise. The third tip, obviously,
Before you go on there, I just want to know, I've seen this happen before where they've taken the muff and they've put the water in it. Just for a stupid guy like me, what's the reason for having the hose pipe attached and the water running through the boat when you're starting it up in your yard?
Okay, the reason is those engines are water cooled, and we have that area on the gearbox which basically, well, the impeller basically sits in the gearbox, which actually sucks water through those holes on the gearbox and then distributes that from the gearbox running up into the engine, which cools the engine. Because when you start the engine, you'll see there's like a fine spray on the top of the motor that shoots out either right or left, depending on what type of motor you have. It makes almost like a fine spray on top. So that means that your water system's working correctly, and your impeller is basically sucking water up in your engine to ensure that it's been cooled. Don't start your motor and idle it if you don't have the water connected. Otherwise, you'll warp the impeller, because the impeller is basically a rubber. It looks almost like a rubber propeller type thing. You can burn that out, number one. Number two is these outboard motors get extremely hot very, very quickly. I mean, you're talking like about 20 seconds, 30 seconds, and the motor's hot. So as a safety precaution, make sure that when you start it, you're having that fine spray coming out through the top of the motor. Then you know, okay, the water distribution through the motor, it's correct.
Interesting
basically
stuff.
Basically, also another thing, another thing is guys go to the coast and they don't do the same procedure with fresh water. Then you have like corrosion all inside your engine. So it'll be a good thing also to have like almost like a water flush through your system, you know, a clear fresh water flush through your system. That's another advantage to it as well.
Interesting. Definitely starting your motor in the yard without sort of the water system running through it, not a good idea at all, obviously.
It's not a good idea. Look, a lot of people will say, you know, I don't have access to mops. I don't have access, you know, to all the fancy goodies, whatever. What can I do? Look at my situation, for example. I don't have a gearbox on my boat at the moment. But I still start my motors. The guys will wonder, why, how is he doing this now without water? So all I do is basically I prime the bulb, the fuel bulb. Again, I didn't mention that before. The fuel bulb basically is, it looks like a small bulb on the fuel line system that sits either on the rear end of the boat that you have to actually prime, press till it gets like really hard. That basically distributes fuel from your tank into your engine. Sometimes the bulb is like, you know, soft and...
Like a grenade,
it looks. It looks almost like a grenade, that's it.
Right, I know exactly what you're talking about.
And Mohammed, on the other hand, that pump now basically, that or the grenade that Adil is talking about, doesn't there have to be also then cleaned out from time to time?
Look, not really. Not really, because you should have a few filters on your fuel line. Going deeper into the subject, what we fit for people is it's a thing called a water separator filter. From the tank, we'd have a pipe going into this filter. It separates water, because some of the tanks, plastic, aluminium, or steel tanks, they do have condensation, especially in the winter and summer months, where you get water buildup in your fuel. So having water in your engine is a very bad thing. You know, you can damage a lot. So we basically run a pipe from the fuel tank to the water separator. It separates all the water and it filters at the same time, filters your fuel at the same time, and then distributes it through another piece of pipe into your bubble and then into your engine. So you can have a normal fuel filter, but I always advise a water separator filter, because you know, not being a guy that goes every, you know, weekend out, you go maybe once a month or once in 2 months or whatever the case may be, you do have a buildup of condensation in your fuel tank, and you're definitely going to have water in your system. So water separator filter is always a plus. Some of the newer engines come with water separators on there as compared to the older motors. But even having a double water separator is always beneficial, because with the water separator, after some time you'll actually see in the water separator, it has like a glass bowl built onto it. You can actually see the water and the fuel trapped the difference between the water in the fuel and the water trapped at the bottom of the system. And with that, you can just basically open a small valve, it drains out the water, and you know your system is again, you know, free from getting any water into it.
How much is on the same topic? I mean, you're talking about now dirty fuel and things like that. Is it true that you would have many people with boats, especially on the water, they would say to you, I mean, once you're off the boat, then you just got to dry stop that motor for a couple of seconds to let that excess fuel actually come out of the system?
What we fitted for a couple of people is we fitted what we call just a normal shutter valve on your fuel line. And then I would advise people not buy a plastic fuel shutter valve from some farmer's supply shop or any hardware. Petrol will eat into that plastic. That is not a fuel grade fitting. So always go with a fuel grade or something that can handle fuel running through it. It's a normal shutter valve that you fit onto your fuel line while you're unlaunching the trailer. When the outboard is deep enough, you just let the motor idle. Engage the fuel shutter valve till the motor basically burns out all the fuel in the system. That's what we call winterization. So you're always having your engine free from any fuel causing a problem in it. This is the same thing that we do with our generators at home. You turn off the fuel valve and you just let the thing, you know, idle till it cuts off. Mm. A lot of people say, look, it causes damage over some time. I agree, but to a point I disagree, because I'd rather have a generator free from any fuel, gunking up the system or building up in the system.
I'm actually quite amazed, because I didn't really think about the fact that the fuel sort of gels or becomes like Vaseline or something like that in the system.
Yes.
Until right. You're telling it to me now, because we always assume that, you know, it's liquid, and a lot of people use petrol for cleaning, like if you want to clean off glue or something like that there. And then, so you think that, okay, it stays in the system, keeping it clean, but you say, no, that's definitely not a good idea, because it will gel up eventually, yeah.
That's right. I mean, especially with the two-stroke outboards. The two-stroke outboard is compared to the four-stroke outboards is different. Because the two-stroke outboards, remember, you've got now your two-stroke oil mixing with your fuel.
Right.
So that makes things, even with your generator, some of your generators two-stroke, it causes a big, big problem when that oil just sits there and becomes like a jelly.
Interesting stuff. So what was the third thing you were going to tell us about?
Another thing a lot of people have overlooked is sometimes, you know, get under the boat, have a look at your hull at the bottom. A lot of people are not even aware that they have holes in their boat. I had a client a couple of weeks back where he brought the boat for something else. And we always have this habit of just, you know, going under with a creeper or something and having a look at the hull and just inspecting the hull is like a norm, you know, to have the boat checked when we book it in, you know. He had a hole probably about 8-9 centimeters long.
Sure.
And a proper hole right through. And the only thing that was preventing the water from flooding in the boat was the people that done the foaming in the boat done a solid job. So that was actually preventing the water from flooding the inner hull. And it looked very old, because everything was like brown and tarnished, and he wasn't even aware of it, you know.
Who looks under a boat, basically?
Correct. So now and then, look, even if you don't know anything, just, you know, do a brief inspection. Does this look right? Or look at the trailer around. We've had a trailer break now the other day on a client where he had inferior welding done on what do you call those things? Basically, that hold the springs at the back. Somebody didn't weld those things properly for him, and he's got lucky for him, he had a double axle trailer, and one of those, the shackles broke off and ripped right underneath the boat into the bush. Luckily he had a double axle trailer to carry on riding. Now imagine if that was a single axle trailer, he probably would have rolled the boat or something of that sort. So, you know, it's not, even if one doesn't want to do it himself, it's a 5-minute check just to visibly check and see, does anything look out of place, does anything look, anything doesn't look right, you know. That, and another thing I'll harp on again from previously, people always over-inflate their tires. Why do they put 3 bars of pressure in a 14-inch tire? I got no idea. You know, with the amount of potholes and stuff that we're having on the road, I mean, it's like putting a knife through, you know, hot knife to through butter. That's exactly the same thing you're going to have when you hit a sharp pothole. There's no absolutely no give on a tire. I always recommend when you're going 13, 14-inch tire, try not to inflate above 2.5 bar pressure on your tires. A lot of people are frowning and say, you know, you're talking absolute jargon and you don't know what you're doing. I've never, ever, ever had a blowout. Never, ever. On my boat, personally. Never. Mm-hmm. I've lost the wheel, yes, because I didn't... too negligent to make sure that my bearings were in order and fishing too much. So I never, ever had the time to do that. So I have lost the wheel, but I've never, ever had a blowout. And even through the worst of roads.
Mm.
Always make sure that you don't overinflate your tires and don't underinflate. I mean, you know, if people are trying to put 1.5 bars, that's gonna your tire is gonna blow on the first, you know, major bump. So try and find a medium. I would recommend anywhere between 2.2, 2.5, depending on how big the boat is. But between 2.2 and 2.5 bar. More than that, I think it's way too hard.
Interesting stuff, Mohammed. I feel so enlightened now. I think what listeners also should realize is we're not giving out all, because I can picture some of the aunties there listening very carefully. So when the husband comes to say he wants to buy a boat, he says, no, this guy said, no, you mustn't do this, and boats are like this. We're not saying boats are dangerous. It's like if somebody buys a gun, you need to learn properly how to use it so that you get the benefit of it. The same way when it comes to these boats, etc. I mean, these are extremely important tips that Mohammed has been giving with regards to the maintenance upkeep of the boat as well. I mean, anybody that's got a boat and does fishing from a boat will tell you it's I think it's 100 times better than any other kind of fishing because with a boat you basically can take it from wherever you want to. You know, you can go to any place on the dam and you can fish. And I've always had excellent fishing from any boat that I fished from. So, yeah, please, the listeners, just keep that in mind. It's about the safety and about the importance of looking after your vessel, and this is the purpose of our discussion.
Well, just getting back to boats itself and maintenance itself, right? I know many times people might feel that a boat is very costly and it's very expensive, but would you say it would be in a similar bracket of your vehicle? Now, of course, if you maintain them regular or you keep it up to date regularly, you will be able to tell our listeners more or less what your month to month, or is it going to be a yearly thing, your services or some of the do's and don'ts. Would it still then be a costly affair?
Like I say again, it won't be a costly affair if you always do regular checks. The one thing you have to do is if you're using the regular what we call cup and cone bearing on your trailer, and those bearings basically come on, I think, all the local trailers, whether it's your Fender trailers, your boat trailers, your jet ski trailers, a majority of them use cup and cone bearings.
Hmm.
You have a logbook. Okay, I change bearings on the 1st of January. And look, it becomes a bit of a headache having to log how many kilometers I did with it. It becomes too much work for people out there. So I would say if you're going on average and you're doing about a 400 kilometer trip or even a 200 kilometer trip regularly with your boats, say every weekend, after about 7 or 8 of those trips, do what I just mentioned early on, jack the thing up behind the wheels, not in front of the wheels. A reason for that is some people don't hitch the boat up to the vehicle when doing the jacking, and what happens with that is you'll have the whole entire nose lifting up on you, and that can be dangerous, you know. So always jack the trailer up from behind the wheels, so you're distributing weight to the front. Jack the trailer up quickly and then just shake it side to side. If you want to go one step further, learn how to remove your grease cap on your wheel. Grease cap basically is a cap and the, on the side of the rim that keeps grease in the in the chamber of the drum. Depending on what type of system you have, you can either have a unbraked axle or a braked axle, but they all come with grease caps. Learn how to remove those grease caps just to do an inspection. Another small tip I can give guys that do their own bearings, or guys that are a bit more fanatical when it comes to their assets and their property. So what you do is, after you've changed the bearings, and whoever's changing the bearings for you, some people say it doesn't make a difference, but always take a little bit of silicone and put it on the edge of the grease cap. Because that grease cap, for me personally, if you're launching a boat quite deep, there's a lot of water pressure that comes from either side. So from the rear and from the front, from both sides of the wheel. So what happens is you get the water pressure coming through that grease cap. So try and seal up around the edge of that grease cap, you know, just to prevent water not getting there. Coming back to the maintenance thing and the maintenance side of things, I would say you do a service basically every 50 hours. Some motors, depending on the manufacturer, what type of motor you've got, they don't need servicing right up to 100 hours, some of them even 300 hours. That obviously one would have to monitor like he does with his car. Other than that, starting your motor regularly in the yard, ensuring that you have the right muff setup to start your motor. So go to your local boat shop or look for advice on the internet on what type of system you need to buy in order to start your motor in the yard. When it comes to long-term maintenance, obviously you got to look now. Number one, the bearings of the trailer, that's got to be changed whether we like it or not. Number two is doing outboard service. Obviously, like I say, 50, 100, 150 hours, depending on the type of motor you have, that needs to be done. And the biggest thing out of all, where people keep their boats. Try by all means to keep your boat in the shade. Don't think that you're putting a boat cover on that it's going to help you, you know, prevent your boat getting damaged. Because even by putting a cover onto your boat, the temperature that is in the boat with a boat cover on is almost double as what it is outside. Mm. But having a shade or a shed over your boat and then putting a cover keeps it really cool. That will prevent your boat from getting faded, your gel coat from getting damaged, and will always keep your boat dust-free. And dust is the biggest killer with everything and anything, whether it comes to electronics, whether it comes to outboard motors, carpets, whatever. Wherever your dust gets into, even electrical contacts on the boat, you're going to have a problem sooner or later. So have a decent cover fitted. And for those people that want covers or buy covers for their boats, always try to find a much more kind of softer line cover on the inside. People are buying these plastic canvas covers and not realizing when they're driving with it that by flapping around and shaking around, it's serving almost like a fine sandpaper that's sandpapering the entire hull or wherever the sail or the cover is contacting to. It's almost serving like a sandpaper, and then you find after 5-6 months, hey, what happened to my boat? It looks so dull, although I'm polishing it and it's not, you know, it's not looking good. That's the coming from, you know, those plastic type covers, which are not really good for the boats. A lot of cover manufacturers, something, you know, like a canvas line cover or a softer material if you want to drive with a cover on. But coming back to that part I was talking about, having the boat under a shed or a shade, whatever type of shade you can get, or shade net, even if you take a net and hook it up from one side of the wall to your rafters on your house or whatever the case may be, just having that extra shade over your boat will save your boat a ton. From pipes, from fuel pipes to fading gel coat to cracked seats, you know, everything. Try to have your boat under some sort of shed.
Muhammad, in terms of these boat covers that you're actually talking about, or in terms of other spares that is required, I know earlier on you said about that the part that you put in for many people on the boats right now, that actually separates the water from the fuel. If anybody requires these things, could it be done at your place, Muhammad?
It can be done by me.
A telephone number, contact number?
You can go look at my website. It's www.thesonarguys.co.za, or you can contact me on 0826898000. Any sort of advice or help that you require, you can contact me or look up on the website on what we offer, what we do. Some of the things that we do, we haven't yet updated on the website for quite some time. But if you need any sort of advice, either drop us a WhatsApp or call. Not a problem. We'll be able to assist you.
I see Brother Abdulhaq Katrana, who also does a car show on a Friday evening, is saying that the grease also is very important that you put on in terms of your bearings and things.
What we found was, you know, when people talk about lithium grease, marine grease, stuff like that, I think more important than the grease would be actually the people that are actually fitting the bearings and how you pack grease into a bearing and the viscosity of the grease. Yes, we found that the Fuchs label lithium grease was by far one of the best for us. It's almost like a jelly type grease, and when it heats up, it doesn't turn to water in the actual hub. And
it doesn't leak out. Yeah.
It doesn't leak out. It doesn't become like water, you know. And the most important thing is how you pack the grease into the bearings. You know, make sure you pack it properly. And yes, if you're gonna buy, you know, a really cheap grease, you're gonna either have to keep on re-greasing it, or you're gonna have the bearing seize up on you on the first run, because we have guys that drive their boats in excess of 150, 160 kilometers per hour. And there we advise the boaters out there, if you don't want to hassle with normal cup and cone type bearings and those type of bearings, then I would say you opt out for a hydraulic axle, which will be an oil bath axle. So with the oil bath axles, we don't have any issues, number one. Number two is the extra braking feature on the trailer. It's phenomenal. You're towing a 21, 22 foot boat, which is, you know, like 2 tons behind you, trying to stop that with any bucky in an emergency situation. It's you're going to find yourself either jackknifing the boat with no brakes or with an inferior brake trailer. So I would advise if you want to spend a bit of money on that, try and do the hydraulic axles. That can be done at quite a few places. You can either have it done by Escape Boating in Benoni, or this guy called LA Axles, Jeff. He's also around the Germiston area. They specialize in the hydraulic axles, and it'll save you a ton of time and money in the long run. We've seen axles like and bearings, I think 3 years, 4 years later, they don't even look like they were used in those oil bath axles, because the way it lubricates your bearing, it's like you're almost doing no maintenance. But obviously, yes, they have it checked up every once a year, you know, to make sure you don't have that 1 out of 100% failure, or you're the bad luck guy that had the one failure. Yes, coming back to that grease story, I would always say try and use a grease that's going to repel water that gets into your hub system. I would go with either lithium grease, or you get special marine type greases that we have in the shops. Just buy a good quality grease, in my opinion.
Ahmed, I think we're going to have to wrap up for today's program. Jazakumullah for your time for the excellent program. We'll catch up with you inshallah in the future.
Always a pleasure, ma'am.
As-salamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes. Just to remind our listeners very quickly, out there just a few minutes left before we wrap up. Well, I'm Salim Minikit. We've got some ads to play, so we're going to actually wrap up now very quickly. We say Jazakallah, brother Abdul Haq Katrada, as well, for that important message that he sent us. We did mention it to Muhammad as well, that to using the correct crease. And Adil, one of our listeners, sent a beautiful picture. Beautiful picture. I actually sent it to you. It says, had to share this picture. It's boats galore. Impressive indeed. And you know, you just see the beautiful sunset there with some beautiful boats in the background. Jazakumullah to them as well. Adil, enjoy that very long weekend of yours, inshallah. And we'll catch up with you next week, Saturday morning.
Yeah, inshallah. Just a reminder to all the listeners that today, after Asr, inshallah, we're having our Kirat Jalsa here in Azadwal.
Are you reading?
By... No. You want everybody to run away. I need my ustad to come pull out a mistake. The Kirat Jalsa will be from after Asr at Dr. Yusuf Dadu Primary School Hall. And the whole event is organized by So To Quran of Azadwal, inshallah. So come to Azadwal and join us for the beautiful program. There's a very, very good lineup of Qura, but of course, you've got to come and see for yourself.
Inshallah. Adil, Jazakumullah once again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mulana Sajjad Timol, and to all our wonderful listeners.